Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast. This week, I'm recording this episode from this year's Ideal Home exhibition in Olympia in London, where I've been hosting the Smart Home stand, which I'm currently sat in. To say that we've got some amazing tech to share with you is an understatement.
And I'm in my ideal home in Wolverhampton with all the latest on Apple's rumoured smart glasses that are set to rival Meta's own. But before we crack on, a quick thanks to CEX, of course, for backing the show.
Yeah, we love CEX because, you know, let's be honest, dropping some serious money on brand new tech isn't always the smartest move these days.
Yeah, especially when you've probably got a drawer full of old gear in, or in your case, Jace, you know, a whole lockup house, yeah, loft, that could be worth something if you went through it.
Shipping container. Ship. Of course, you can trade it, as you know, at CEX and either pocket the cash or you can put it, you know, towards your next upgrade.
And they're not picky either. Phones, laptops, consoles, games, wearables. If it's tech, they'll have a look at it.
And everything they sell has been properly checked and refurbished, so you're not taking a gamble.
And here is the kicker. A full 5-year warranty on everything, and that's better than a lot of brand new stuff.
So whether you're upgrading, decluttering, or just curious what your kit's worth,
jump on to webuy.com or swing by your nearest CEX store and see what you can get.
Before we get stuck in, if you're into what we do here, then you know what I'm going to say. It would be amazing if you could tap subscribe, give us a favourite on whatever platform you're listening to. It really does help. And obviously, you'll get notified for every new episode that we upload. Okay, right, Susie, before we get into my time here at the Ideal Home Show, in case you are not aware, folks, that's not some kind of green screen. I am on the Smart Home stage. Right in the middle of the show here at London's Olympia. Tell us what you've been up to, Susie. How's your week been?
All right. So you know how we've talked in previous podcasts about Apple's failure with implementing AI and with every tech company and its dog shoving AI into absolutely everything right now. It's Apple, which has been, well, you know, if we're honest about it, more than a little bit late to the AI party. But now, according to the latest leaks, they're quietly working on a whole suite of AI wearables and plan to go for it properly.
I'm so excited. Carry on.
I know. It's only a rumour, but I'm going to share it because I was interested in hearing about it. So we're talking about AI powered smart glasses, AirPods, and slightly bizarrely, an AI necklace. The big one, though, is the glasses. These are apparently display-free smart specs. So more like the Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses rather than full sci-fi AR goggles. So the idea is that they're going to let you take photos and videos, listen to music, get notifications and chat to Siri, which is finally supposed to get a proper AI upgrade. Now, internally, it's called the N50, which I don't know about you. It sounds less like a product, more like a motorway. But anyway, design-wise, Apple's testing loads of different images and looks. So big, chunky frames, probably a bit like these ones that I'm playing, wearing right now. Slimmer ones, rounder styles. So clearly, they know it isn't tech. They know it's fashion. And we know that they know how to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's really important. So one of the big reasons Meta has teamed up with Ray-Ban is because, well, you know, people just don't want to walk around looking like they've got a massive headset on. And here's the thing. This is where it gets a little bit controversial, I think. I'm going to say this, but I think Apple might actually win this race. And not because they've got the best tech. We might have a VHS Betamax scenario going on here. And it's down to privacy. I know I bang on about it all the time, but I just think it's been such a massive blocker. And I don't trust anybody, as you know. All of these AI wearables rely on constantly seeing and hearing your life. That's how they give you helpful stuff like reminders, recognizing people, telling you what you've forgotten. You know, it's really clever, but I also accept that it is also a little bit creepy.
A little bit creepy.
Yeah. And companies like Meta and Google have already had a bit of heat over how much data they're collecting and who's actually looking at it. Apple, on the other hand, has been banging the privacy drum for years. And they've even built this thing called private cloud compute to try and keep your data secure, even when it's processed remotely. So if you're asking me whose AI glasses I trust not to spy on my entire existence, then I'd probably edge over to Apple. And that's because their business isn't reliant on advertising. It's quite simple, really. Google and Meta, the largest chunk of their revenue comes from advertising, which benefits massively from having, obviously, as much data as they can rip from you as they can. So even if they are a bit behind, which they are, and even if the specs aren't as good, having better control of privacy with smart glasses, I think, will be absolutely huge. So yeah, early days, nothing confirmed, and Apple's still got ever such a lot to prove with AI. But for the first time in a while, I'm actually a little bit excited to see what they're going to come out with. Meta and Google might want to keep an eye over their shoulder on this one.
I'm absolutely fascinated. Sorry, I've got Expo nose, you know, like,
oh, I get Expo eyes.
I love your enthusiasm for that. You know, I am on board, right? I tell you what, I saw something yesterday, and people listening or watching the podcast will probably say, oh, come on, Jace, that's been available for ages. I'm sure it has. But there was a guy, he was a cameraman, and he came to do some social media content with me. Really nice guy. He had an Apple Watch Ultra on his wrist, and I said, what do you want me to say? He said, but I hope you don't mind, I've written a bit of a script. And then he brought it up and he held his hand in front of me and then he moved his fingers like this.
Yeah.
And the script moved like an auto cue. I was like, what? Is that like an auto cue on your wrist? He went, yeah. And I was like, I never knew that.
Yeah,
like,
there's a gesture control, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, can you imagine right now, I mean, so that you know, listeners and viewers, I've got something of a script in front of me. Susie's got access to the same one. Sometimes we refer to the scripts. You can probably tell when we're doing that. Sometimes we just vibe. And it's quite difficult, isn't it, Susie, to switch between information. Easy when you're sat in front of a laptop, but not so easy in a live event situation with a live audience, because I actually present on this stage here, the smart home stage, and I talk to a packed house, hopefully, of lots of different people. It'd be great to just be able to have that information, not even on my wrist, but I know you said initially, I'm going to say, you didn't even suggest they're going to bring screens, but we know that's where they're going. Mm. It's got to be going that way, isn't it?
Yeah, but, I would think so.
Right, time for something very exciting. The brand new Gadget Show competition is live, but time is running out to get involved. We're giving away £5,000 to spend at CEX. And yes, that is as amazing as it sounds.
And this competition is just for our core listeners on Patreon. So the number of entries stays sensible, which means that your chances are actually pretty good.
Yeah, but you need to move quickly. To enter, head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and sign up to one of our paid tiers. They start at about the price of a cup of coffee. There are three levels, light, mid and max.
Yeah, so light gives you one entry, mid gives you three, and max gives you five. So if you want to boost your chances before the clock runs out, then that's the one to go for.
I love it. So once you've signed up, send us a direct message on Patreon with the answer to this question. In what year did The Gadget Show first air on TV? Was it A, 2002, B, 2004, C, 2006, or D, 2007?
And remember, you're not just entering the competition.
Yeah, you'll also get ad-free episodes, early access, bonus content.
And if you're on the max tier, you will unlock the entire Gadget Show archive. Over 20 years of the show, nearly 500 episodes. It's a proper little treasure trove.
Cool. So, extra content, better odds, and the chance to win a £5,000 tech shopping spree. Don't hang about, though. Entries are closing soon. Head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow to get involved.
You'll find the full terms and conditions linked in this episode. So you're just starting off at the Ideal Home Show then. Obviously, yeah. You've got a few under your belt. So what have you been talking about then? What have you got for us?
Well, OK. So the idea is that we create a room, a lounge, an outside area, a kitchen. I know you know all of this because all I hear when I'm walking around the show is Susie coming? Because you have a long history with the Ideal Home exhibition. So I know you know all about this, Susie, but... So basically, yeah, we create like a lived-in environment. I'm sat on my sofa in my front room. I've got my projector. Let me start with that.
Yeah, okay.
It's from a company called Soundcore. They're under the Anchor banner, you know, Anchor. This thing, standout piece of tech for me from the show. I'm going to start with the best, right? It's a cinema in a box. So, you know, I don't say it's a projector. It's got a 4K projector in there, lens correction, auto keystoning, 3,500 ANSI lumens, blah, blah, blah. It's all in this big case on wheels, really rugged. You can drag it across the grass, IP45 rated, so it'll take a shower. So you can have a projection movie experience outside with this thing. But how would you get the sound? That's why it's a movie, a cinema in a box, not just a projector. You've got 7.1 surround sound Dolby.
Wow.
The speakers are, would you just go and push that speaker there? See, it says left and right, Tom. Thank you, that's our producer. Thank you so much. Just hand it to me. This is one of the speakers. Look at that.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Yeah.
And you press this here. Look, the legs come out.
Huh?
And this thing goes, there's four of these and even bigger ones than this. These each have two units in them. You've got a sub, great big subwoofer in the bottom. The whole thing can be operated for 3 hours completely on battery. Everything is charged via one cable. The sound quality is incredible. It's one of the most fun pieces of kit I think I've seen in a long time.
Oh, that sounds incredible. Just give us the name of it again.
It's called the Soundcore Nebula X1 Pro, and it's a beautiful bit of kit. Kickstarter funded as well.
Oh, wow. Because we talked about something like this in one of our very, very early Gadget Show podcasts. I remember having a sort of cinema in a box, but it can't have been this one.
I wonder if it was that, because I thought that. I thought I'd seen this. Let me tell you what else I've got, Suze.
Okay.
Another absolute headliner. I'm going to keep going until you tell me to shut up. So I'm putting.
Oh, hang on! Before you go, is there a rough? Yes. Have you got an estimated price for that cinema?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to lose a few people now.
Oh. Okay.
Well, it's under it. It's got a bit of a deal at the moment. I think about four grand.
Okay.
But let me just say, we've got another really good projector on the stand. Great projector. Same thing. Lens correction, auto keystoning. It does much higher hertz than that does. But still 4K, Harman Kardon speakers built in. That's a couple of grand.
Right.
Whereas this thing, it also comes with microphones. You've got two microphones, so you can use it as a PA system. And I actually do my presentation to 100 people or 200 people, whatever it is, using the microphones from that and its speakers.
Wow.
So it's almost a little business. You could go around and do little events with it. I mean, yeah. I think it's great value for money. All right, next standout piece of kit. You said about, you know, covering everything with the AI source, didn't you, at the start of this, in your intro. This is going to sound like one of the worst examples of that, right? AI bird table.
What?
Right? Just bear with me. So you've got your seed reservoir. The seeds pop onto the little bird table. Mm-hmm. Camera can see night and day, blah, blah, blah. Fine. Okay. So now you're sat at home having your morning coffee. You get a little update on your phone. You get a video of the bird landing.
So blue tits landed, images. Yeah.
Yeah, hang on, don't preempt my gag.
Oh, okay, I probably nearly did your gag, but go on.
Great minds think alike. And importantly, the AI tells you what species of bird has just landed, and I think that's really lovely.
Do you know what, actually? That is really lovely because, you know, it's just a modern update on a bird book, I suppose, but it's... I like that because I know a lot of people like to spend a bit of time. It's really good sort of for your mental health as well, just watching nature.
You can guess what my punchline is when I'm up here on stage and I say so. And it works, I can tell you, because this morning I was having my morning coffee and I got a text message. I looked and it said tits.
I thought you were going to say the eagle has landed.
I could say that. I could say that today. So what else have we got? We've got, this will surprise you what impressed me. The Tefal steamer, clothes steamer, right?
Oh, I love a steamer,
Yeah, so, you know, if you've not got time to do loads of ironing, you're getting ready, you've got to rush out, whatever, you can whack between one and three items in this steamer, and it'll give you three or four different modes, 10-minute refresh, right up to 40-minute sanitized mode. It's really elegantly designed. It's really, really well made. Looks cool. Folds down, not flat, but, you know, you can keep it out of the way in the corner of a room or something. And I just think for people, maybe even people that are busy working in the city, can't be bothered to iron every Sunday night or whatever. It's just a nice solution, and it's £300. I thought it was a nice bit of tech.
Yeah, that sounds good. Can I tell you a secret? I haven't done any ironing for years because I steam everything.
Do you? Have you got one of these things like that?
Yeah, just a portable. I've just got a portable one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it. Sounds like you're at a change. You're going to miss your train.
The announcement. I think the 9:40 to Wolverhampton is just coming in.
Excellent.
Right. So retro is, thanks, Tom. Thank you, mate. Retro is very much in effect. Now, who makes this, do you think? It's your favourite.
We Are Rewind.
We Are Rewind. Yes! Yeah. I knew you'd like this.
I do.
I'll tell you what's really funny. Let me show you something really funny. This is the boombox from We Are Rewind. Susie's excited because she's got the Walkman that they make.
In burnt orange, jealous. And I love it.
Oh, mate, I'm so jealous of that. Now, this is the boombox. It's got all the bells and whistles, Bluetooth, really good sound. You can whack a microphone in there. You can, you know, connect it to another speaker set. It's got some lovely sort of 1970s VU meters on there, Susie.
Yeah.
But look at this. I don't know if you'll be able to see. Heavy. It's about 10K. When we came on day one, we didn't have any cassettes. So I asked my daughter to bring a cassette from my office. Yeah. And this is me, my handwriting, circa 1983. It says Loose Ends.
Oh, I love Loose Ends.
Loose Ends, hanging on a string.
Oh, yes, please.
And so I play that to the audience. That's really nice. We've got vinyl here, Susie. You'll like your vinyl. I know you love your vinyl. Okay. We've got a nice, a really lovely sort of 1970s designed Philips, state of the art, but like a lot of the furniture on the show floor now, there's a real nod to the 70s, I would say, as a design reference, right? Mm-hmm. So lots of golds and browns and oranges, burnt orange, mm-hmm. right? And the Philips record player, it's got, you know, Bluetooth, internal speakers, 60 watts per channel, nice big wood surround, but that's not why I like it. I like it because of what it's called. It's the Philips Tina Turntable.
Oh.
Do you like that?
Oh, simply the best.
Simply the best. We've got some burnt orange speakers, seeing as you mentioned your penchant for that distinctively 70s
look. It's in my blood, you see, as well, because I'm a Wolves fan, so it's that old gold thing.
It's a very Wolves old gold set of speakers from Cambridge Audio.
Oh, lovely.
Absolutely beautiful. And these are active speakers. They're part of a new range that are coming from Cambridge Audio, who actually are just up the road from here. And one of the representatives came. They're very proud of them. They're active, so you can plug your computer straight into them. But you could also make them part of a home cinema setup because they've got optical input.
Oh, cool.
They've got all the different analog inputs as well as being Bluetooth compatible. And we're using them with a really cool record player, which I'm hoping we can pop an image of or a video of over the top of this. It's called the Mix Analog Plus. And you might think, why is he telling me about another record player? You'll love this. I'm trying to describe it to you. It's really cool. White, you know, Audio Technica cartridge, solid metal platter, all the stuff you need to play a decent bit of vinyl. When you finish with your vinyl, take the vinyl off, push the center, it opens, you can put CDs in it. Isn't that clever?
That is clever, yeah.
Isn't that clever? So yeah, real retro revival, cassettes, vinyl, Tina turntable, and CDs. I mean, I could go on, but I'm thinking you probably want to come up for air right now.
You've got it all covered there. I mean, that sounds amazing. And also, I really want to see that show because it just ticks all my boxes of all the music, and it sounds like it looks amazing as well. I just love the sound of the styling and how beautiful. Yeah, I love the fact that, you know, things are becoming more beautiful again rather than just black. And
that's what I thought when you said about the Apple smart glasses. What excites me, and you mentioned it, is it comes back to this thing we were saying earlier about the
design,
you know, about what they do being something like jewelry. Mm. Do you remember that point we made a few months ago?
Yeah.
And I think glasses are fine. They need to be fine and they need to be lightweight and they need to look elegant and be made of, you know, good quality materials. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with that. But anyway.
Be interesting. Another thing that grabbed my attention this week, following on from last year's Neo robot announcement, which was said to start, if you remember, from $20,000. There's now a Chinese robotics company called Unitree Robotics, and they've just opened global pre-orders for a humanoid robot called the R1. That is also a motorbike, but this is different. And honestly, it just sounds...
Even I know
it sounds a little bit mad. So listen, the headline is the price, really. So in China, it's around $4,000. But globally, it's landed at about $6,800. Weirdly on AliExpress, of all places. But it's still, you know, wildly cheap for a humanoid robot. That's my point. And spec-wise, it's just over 4 feet tall. It weighs about 60 pounds. It can sprint, fall over, and then just get back up again like nothing happened, like MotoGP riders. And the reason that they can do that at this price is that Unitree makes more than 80% of the parts themselves. So they've slashed the costs up massively. Like their average humanoid robot price has dropped from about 85,000 a couple of years ago to just under 25,000. And now the thing is that that's sort of basically the price of a used car, really, isn't it? So that's what's even more interesting is they're already miles ahead on the shipping. So Unitree moved about 5,500 units last year, while rivals like Tesla and Figure AI are still in the hundreds. So, you know, these are just two completely different situations here. It's not just a concept. These things are actually getting out into the real world. Now, before we get all too excited about having a robot mate doing the washing up and all of that stuff, there are obviously a few caveats. There are already concerns, particularly in the US, about security risks. So basically people worrying about what data these robots might be collecting and where it's going. And then there's the bigger question. What do you actually do with a 5K humanoid robot right now? Because at the moment, it's more sort of developer toy than household helper.
Definitely.
Yeah. But this is the big but. If prices keep on dropping like this, we could be getting to the moment where humanoid robots go from sci-fi to something that you can literally order online.
That's just nuts.
Free shipping, maybe next day delivery, which is equal parts exciting and I think slightly unsettling as well. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, you know, I think we're going to see an explosion of this technology. I mean, I know what Elon Musk is up to because I follow his developments via a podcast that I love listening to. Ask me in the Patreon chat if you want to know what that one is. And I know that he's gearing up to mass production. And so obviously they are. You've just told us that they're already going to market. I think they're going to hit big, these things, and that they're going to be something of a kind of industrial domestic crossover for the first couple of years. But then I think you're right. The parts will just become interchangeable, really inexpensive, and it'll almost become, I don't know, normal to have some form of domestic help in the home. I mean, you know, it's all right for me. I feel relatively young, able-bodied. But, you know, like my mom could really do with some help around the home, for real. And much as I'd love to be the person doing it, I live 7.5 hours drive from my mom. Is it not logical to have some form of machine helper that can, you know, do the hoovering, do a bit of washing up, clear up, pick up socks, things like that, things that older people find difficult or challenging, do a bit of stuff around the garden? I don't know. I mean, as I say that, though, and I'm sure you feel the same, I'm guessing we've still got a long way to go until that type of agility is reliable and that you're not having to charge it every, you know, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I find it all very fascinating, but, you know, for me, I'm not interested in it. I can shove it. So there you go.
Until I put a wolf shirt on and you're like, oh, it's so cute.
Yeah.
All right, so we've talked a lot about Apple's... you've talked a lot about Apple's foldable phone and completely got me excited for it. I've gone from total cynic, Susie, to now sort of kind of in the market for it. Anyway, the latest whispers are that it's going to be called the iPhone Ultra upon release. But isn't just Apple jumping on the foldable bandwagon? Huawei have just shown off something very similar with what they're calling the Pura X Max, which is launching, strangely enough, this month. But it might be a glimpse at where all foldables, including Apple's, obviously, are heading next, because I wouldn't say that they're sharing components, but they certainly work within the same markets. And so when certain types of electronics, like screen technology and so on, become available, reliable, inexpensive enough to mass produce, you often see this, don't you? The sort of multiple companies coming to market with something similar. So instead of that tall, skinny book style design we've got used to with phones, they're now going to go shorter and wider, if this from Huawei is anything to go by, both on the outside and when you open it up. So think less stretched phone, more mini tablet, which I'm definitely here for, I've got to be honest. In fact, the inner screen is something around 16 by 11. Well, that's a really good movie format, isn't it? You know, for nice widescreen movie experiences and a bit of gaming. So if that sounds familiar, it should, because this is exactly the kind of design we're expecting from Apple's first foldable, and you know, potentially, of course, from Samsung as well, with a rumored wider Galaxy Fold on the way. Wow. You predicted not just a phone from Apple, Susie, but an entire new category. So once again, Huawei might not dominate globally, but they're quietly shaping the direction of travel. Specs-wise, what I've been told, 16 gig of RAM, 1 terabyte of storage, possibly running the Kiron chip. That's Huawei's own silicon. And a big camera bump on the back. I don't know if I like the idea of the bump ruining my nice, slim phone. But anyway, colors include interstellar blue, olive gold, and Susie, vibrant orange. Wolves orange, they're calling it.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it.
Because apparently now orange is the new black. So anyway, there you go. The bit of a catch. The thing is launching on April the 20th, but only in China. So if you're in the market for that, I don't know. You'll have to wait. But that almost doesn't matter, because what it represents really, you know, is a shift in thinking. So, you know, the likes of Samsung, who have to be given their credit, you know, they stuck with this technology. And I've met several Samsung foldable phone owners, and they are evangelistic about them. There's no going back for them. So that the idea that Apple, but first of all, Huawei, you know, getting into that market can only be good.
I like to think of it as a sort of a shift, like a Morecambe and Wise shift, where you're going from Eric Morecambe, from tall and slim, to an Ernie Wise, a sort of shorter, wider, you know, for those of a certain age. That note, that's your lot for this week. Another episode of the Gadget Show podcast, neatly wrapped up and ready for the archives. And all that luscious, gorgeous stuff that you've brought us from the Ideal Home Show. Thank you for that. I loved it.
Oh, anytime. It's been my absolute pleasure. Okay, so before we go, we need to say a big thank you to you, the people helping this podcast stay fully charged, our fantastic Patreon supporters. Thank you so much. So huge appreciation goes out to Samuel Locker, Damo MC, Nigel Harrison, QITB, Logan Gray, Chris Dennett, Gavin Warnock, Stuart White, Paul Burks, Beano Engineer, I love that, Gareth Kirk, Colin Wharton, The Gadget Gremlin, Stuart Reinhardt, Matthew Downs, Maxwell Flukiga, Stephen Bates, Adam White, Havoc, Dan Tainton, Adam Carter, Tom Sanders, Damien Diggs, Chris Dalrymple, Rick Ellison, and yeah, what can I say? You guys and girls are total legends.
And a big thank you as well to Kev Barnes, Yusuf Ali, Ian Wilson, Sam Supersonic, Justin Strong, Wackerman, Barry Music Tech Info, Brian Mark Wilde, Barclay Thompson, Stephen Brandon, Zamir, Andrew Brandt, Jared, Fluky D, Paul Sharrock, Mark, Colin Taylor, Alan Williams, Chris Hughes, and Martin Budnarovsky. Thank you ever so much for your support.
Yeah, it's funny because I said Fluky D was a rapper from, like, you know, the 80s. They actually said, commented in the chat, and we had a chat on the Patreon app, which of course you can do as a Patreon member. Rounding things off, massive appreciation to Peter Pillar, Dave Green, Ren Mandagorn, Dave McHugh, Matthew Riley, Chris Cool, Stephen Green, Tall Man with Glasses, Andrew Bamford, Duncan Bell, Colin Jones, Gordon Packer, Richard Martin, Simon Ryland, Darren McCracken, Philip Eddington, Anthony White, Skewy Cat, Danny Rushton, Matt Howarth. I feel like a real affinity now. I feel like we all know each other. Honestly, your support is incredible and we really do appreciate it.
Yeah, and if you fancy joining this illustrious band of gadget backers, you'll unlock bonus episodes, behind the scenes extras, an ad-free feed, of course, and you'll be in the running for our rather tasty £5,000 CEX prize fund.
So within a few weeks' time, folks, we're going to be letting you know if you're the lucky recipient of £5,000 to spend at CEX. I love it. If you'd like to be part of that competition and the community and all the stuff that Susie just said, then please just head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow. Sign up and join the club.
Thanks so much for your company. Goodbye from Wolverhampton.
And goodbye from the Olympia Smart Home Stage at the Ideal Home Exhibition in London. See you next time.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.